Read Mark chapter 8, and we're going to read from verse 1 to verse 26. So you can read verse 1 to verse 26. In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him and said to them, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, for diverse of them came from far. And his disciples answered him, From whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? And he asked them, How many loaves have you? And they said, 7. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks, and broke, and gave to his disciples to set before them, and they did set them before the people. And they had a few small fishes, and he blessed and commanded to set them also before them. So they did eat, and were filled. And they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets. And they that had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. And straightway he entered into a ship with his disciples, and came unto the parts of Dalmanutha. And the Pharisees came forth and began to question him with him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him, or testing him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit, and says, Why does this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say to you, I tell you the truth, there shall no sign be given unto this generation. And he left them, and entering into the ship again, departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than 1 loaf. And he charged them, saying, Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It's because we've got no bread. And when Jesus knew it, he said to them, Why reason you, because you have no bread? Perceive you not yet, neither do you understand. Have you your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? When I broke the 5 loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you take up? They said to him, 12. And when the 7 among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you take up? And they said, 7. And he said to them, How is it that you don't understand? And he comes to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, Neither go into the town, nor tell it to any in the town. May the Lord bless that reading of his word to us tonight. Praise the Lord. So here we are in Mark chapter 8. And we come out at the end of this section that we've read with a man seeing all things clearly. And we hope that at the same time, the disciples are beginning to see all things clearly. And we pray for ourselves that we too might see all things clearly. We begin with that story of the feeding of the 4,000. We've previously looked at, earlier in Mark's Gospel, the feeding of the 5,000. And we find that here Jesus is still in that area, that region called Decapolis. It means the 10 cities. It's on the side of the Sea of Galilee away from Galilee. It's an area, a territory of Gentiles, and there Jesus had been finding men and women to minister to, and many mighty things were done. And there was a very great crowd, a multitude still following him. We've seen that there are people from all over the place that have been following Jesus, from Gentile areas, and he's still in a Gentile area now, and multitudes are following him. What we find from the religious people, the religious Jews, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes, and so on, all that we find from them is opposition, unbelief, challenges, and so on. But here there's a multitude following. And they've been 3 days following Jesus, listening to his teaching, with nothing to eat. And Jesus has compassion. And actually the word that's used there is a word which can be translated and should be translated, his bowels were moved with compassion. It doesn't sound very nice, but it's that inner feeling that you get within. And he's thinking, and he's saying, if I send them home now, they've not been eating for 3 days, they won't make it home, they'll collapse on the way, some have come a long way. And as I read these verses, I was thinking, where, oh where, is such a desire for the things of God today? Where people are prepared to follow the Lord and go without food for 3 days to get more of the teaching of the Word of God. It's a long way that some of them have come, and they've not eaten for 3 days. You see, they didn't look for some piffling excuse to explain why they couldn't come. That's what we put up with today in churches. Can't come because grandma's come. Can't come because this has happened. But these people left everything, and for 3 days without food, were following Jesus. You know, such has been the situation when there have been revivals in the past. People could not get enough of what the Lord was leading them into. And they spent many an hour in prayer. You know, we look at the Welsh revival. You read about the men coming straight from the pit, the coal mines, having worked straight to the chapel to pray. Not just for an hour's meeting, but all night. They're praying and praying. Some are praying and going, others are coming. And all the time, sometimes it was 24 hours a day, the chapels were open and prayer was going on. There was mighty revival. Those things like food and comfort and such like were pushed to one side. There was an urgency, a need for salvation, a need for getting right with God, a need to seeing others getting the message of the gospel that they might be put right with God. That is more important. This is what Jesus was experiencing. They found that what Jesus had for them was more important than the other day-to-day things that they might well have been occupied with. 3 days without food. And it leads to this situation of 4,000 people without food. How are they going to be fed? But we find that God's miraculous provision met their need. And as with the feeding of the 5,000, a little way further back in Mark's Gospel, the basis of this feeding of the 5,000 and the feeding of the 4,000 was faith. Not the faith of the 5,000, not the faith of the 4,000, but it's the faith of the disciples in the work of Jesus. And their faith wasn't brilliant. They had their ups and downs. But this faith that they had in Jesus was that whatever Jesus said, they would do. There was an obedience of faith. The Lord commanded, and they obeyed. But before we get to that, even the disciples are slow to learn. So it is today. Sometimes we can be slow to learn spiritual truth. The Lord shows us something, and we say, oh yes, that's right. And then a few weeks later on, we're moaning about something. Well, have you forgotten what the Lord did? How the Lord provided? There's 4,000 people there, plus women and children. And the Lord says to the disciples, I can't send them away. They might collapse on the way. They've come from a long way. And the disciples said to him, well, how are we going to feed? From where are we going to get food, sufficient food, to satisfy these men here in the wilderness? Where are we going to get it? So, disciples, where is your faith? Have you forgotten the feeding of the 5,000? Not so long before. So to learn, you see. Sometimes we learn the lesson and it fades. And a new challenge comes and it daunts us and we're not quite sure how to face it. And the disciples say, well, how are we going to do it, Lord? Where can we get food to satisfy these people in the wilderness? And Jesus said to them, how many loaves have you got? How many loaves have you got? In Mark chapter 6 and verses 37-38, this is what Jesus said. Jesus said to the disciples, this is the feeding of the 5,000, you give them to eat. And they said, are we going to go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? He says to them, how many loaves have you got? And they said, 5 and 2 fishes. And they'd forgotten that. And he said to them again, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Command the people to sit down. And again, we've got the idea of using what you've got. And if we're going to be men and women of faith, we've got to use what we've got. Stop waiting for the money to come in so we can afford to spend a lot of money on a big campaign or something. Use what we've got. Move in the power of the Spirit of God. Move in faith. What have you got? Well, we've got 7 loaves. 7 loaves. What's that That's 4,000 men, plus women and children. Seven loaves. Well, seven in the Bible is a number of perfection. It's a number of completeness. It comes from the creation. 7 days. God created everything. And it was perfect. 6 days and the seventh day he rested. It's the number that's associated with that which is perfect and complete, the work of God. He took the seven loaves, Jesus, and he gave thanks. That's faith. You know, it's the Lord, but it's faith. He knows what's going to happen. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. Do you ever do that? When you pray, thank the Lord for the answer before it comes. That's faith. And he broke the bread. He broke the loaves. What did he do? He took the seven loaves. He gave thanks. He broke them. Now all those three words are in a special tense in the Greek text, in the Greek language. It's a past tense. It's a past complete tense. It's done once and it's complete. He took the bread. He gave thanks. He broke the bread. But then we look at the next little phrase. And it says, and he gave to his disciples. Now in English it seems much the same. He gave to his disciples. But in Greek it's what's called the imperfect tense. It's going on, it's not been completed, in other words. And so it's better translated by this little phrase. He kept on giving to the disciples. He was giving to the disciples. He didn't just give once and that was it. He was giving to the disciples. And so he took the bread and he broke it and he was giving it to the disciples. And as they distributed it, he was giving to the disciples. And so it went on. He was giving to the disciples. There the miracle is happening. The bread, the seven loaves, he's giving to the disciples. He's breaking and giving. It just goes on and on and on. And they give to the crowd. And they had a few small fishes. And he blessed and commanded to set them also before them. When it says he blessed, you know who he's blessing. He's not blessing the food, he's blessing God. He's blessing the Father. That's the Jewish prayer of blessing God. Blessed are you, Lord God, King of the universe. Say it before great, they say it before meals. He blessed. He'd given thanks. He blessed. And it was set before them. And so they did eat, it says, and were filled. I'm glad that little phrase is there. And they were filled. Otherwise we'll go away with our doubting minds thinking, well, they all had a little handful each. A little crumb each. No, they were eating. And such was the multiplication, as Jesus kept breaking and kept giving and breaking and giving, such was the multiplication that they had enough, they were filled. They had not been eaten for 3 days. And now they're filled. Now they're satisfied. They did eat and were filled. Not only that, they took up of the broken food that was left 7 baskets. That's wonderful. They took up 7 baskets. You need to notice, there was no abracadabra moment. You know, you find some Christians get away with a sort of flowery imagination and it's all like magic. There was no abracadabra moment. There was no izzy wizzy, let's get busy, kapoomf. And suddenly, from the 7 loaves, there's a banquet there. I think, as far as the 4,000 were concerned, they probably didn't even know a miracle had taken place. The disciples did. They knew they started with 7 loaves. And they knew everyone was fed. As far as the crowd was concerned, they were seated and the food just kept coming. We've got to get out of the idea of it's something like magic. It's not magic. It's faith. Yeah. And God provides and God supplies. And every handful was an act of faith. Every handful was an act of faith. Disciples were taking it, giving, coming back for more, to give to the people. There was faith going on between the disciples and the Lord. The crowd just received what was given to them and they ate. And so it was with the fishes. They were all filled. 7 baskets left. Now here's an interesting point. When we look at the feeding of the 5,000, it says they took up, there were 5 loaves, and 5 in the Bible is the number of grace. It speaks about the grace of God. And when they were finished, 12 baskets were taken up of the food that was left. These 12 baskets were small table baskets. Sort of baskets you have on your table with bread rolls in or something like that. 12 baskets. They were small baskets. 12 representing the people of Israel. The 12 tribes. For all the people of God, there was provision and enough left over. When we look what happened here, It reads much the same in our English, that when they finished, they took up seven baskets. They started with seven loaves, perfect number, and they finished with seven baskets, perfect. But the word for basket here is different from the word for basket for the 5,000. The baskets for the 5,000 were small baskets. The baskets here for the 7,000 were rope baskets, which were huge baskets. In fact, I'll tell you how huge they were. It's the same word that's used in Greek for this story in Acts chapter 9, where Paul is in Damascus and he's, as it were, trapped, can't get out. What do? They let him over the wall in a basket. It's that word. Big enough for a man to get in. This was a mighty miracle. And Jesus sent the crowd away when they'd eaten. He sent them away satisfied spiritually and satisfied physically. He meets every need. Hallelujah. Don't just go away thinking he's just concerned for our spiritual needs. He's concerned for every aspect of our lives. Praise the Lord. Supply every need. What does the Bible say? We'll come to it in a moment. But God is able to supply every need. As soon as Jesus sent them away, it says straightway. Remember that word? Translated in a variety of ways, but it's the same word in the original. Straightway, immediately, forthwith, anon. All those different words are used to translate it. It's the servant word, isn't it? Mark's gospel is about the servant, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to do the will of the Father. And the servant does immediately what the master says. This is Jesus. And immediately, Jesus was in a ship, in a boat, going across the Sea of Galilee, back to the other side, back to Galilee, to the regions of Dalmanutha. There it is in the text. Straightway, he's gone back to the other side. And when he comes to his own side, to Galilee, an area which belongs to Israel, the Jewish people, immediately he finds opposition. He's been in the Gentile territory and the multitudes are thronging after him. He goes back to Galilee and immediately the Pharisees are there causing problems. Maybe they'd heard reports about the miracle. Depends how many people knew a miracle had happened. The disciples knew. I don't know how many of the crowd realised. As far as they were concerned, they were fed. The Pharisees came. They'd heard the reports maybe. And it says in the Authorised Version here that they were seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. That word tempting him means testing him. They were testing him. They were asking for a sign from heaven. What's the significance of that? They weren't going to be fobbed off by stories of miracles. Things that Jesus is supposed to have done. You know, that's how they would put it. Oh, he's supposed to have done this. Let's suppose they'd heard that he'd fed the 5,000. That he fed the 4,000. Let's suppose they'd heard of the first miracle. He turned the water into wine. No, they wanted a miracle from heaven. Not something that he did. They wanted some sort of sign from heaven. This is the one. But there had been such a sign, hadn't there? If they'd been down by the River Jordan, when Jesus was baptised, there the Holy Spirit descended upon him in a bodily form like as a dove. And the voice from heaven which said, the Father saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And there was coming another sign too. Why did they ask? Were they really interested in, just to make sure, let's get a confirmation from heaven that he's the one? No, they didn't believe he was the one. They were full of unbelief. Jesus sighed deeply. Jesus sighed deeply. Why does this generation seek a sign? And we could throw out the same question. Why do people seek a sign? Oh yes, the Lord confirms his word with signs following. But those signs following come from the life of faith. They come afterwards. Where is faith? Here he is amongst his own people. Where is faith? On the other side, with the Gentiles and the mixed multitude that was there, there were people that had come in faith to hear God's word and miracles had happened. And Jesus said this. He said, there shall no sign be given unto this generation. Verse 12. And he left them, entered into the ship again, and departed to the other side. I'm off. He didn't hang around. See, when there's no faith, there's no interaction with the Lord, is there? By faith. No sign should be given. As I say, there was a sign at the baptism. There's another sign that Jesus spoke of that would come. In Matthew 16 and verse 4, Jesus said, it is a wicked and an adulterous generation that seeks after a sign. And there shall be no sign given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. In Matthew chapter 12, here it is. What's the sign of the prophet Jonah? Matthew 12, verse 39 and 40. He answered and said to them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, but there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah," or Jonas as it is here, "for as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." And then what?
Resurrection, rising from the dead. He rose again from the dead. What a sign! What a manifestation! He was raised from the dead. For he is the Son of God. For he did the work of God that God has sent him to do. The work of our redemption on Calvary. He did it to the full and bitter end. There was no fault in him. There was no sin in him. He was pure. Hallelujah. But he bore our sin. And the evidence, the testimony, that that had been accomplished, is that on the third day, God raised him from the dead. He rose again. Here's a sign. Jesus left. He wasn't going to get involved in unbelief, endless arguments and discussions to get nowhere. He left in a ship for the other side and he went to Bethsaida, at the top end of the Sea of Galilee. There's no place, you see, for debating with unbelief. I've found, I don't know about you, I've found you can stand on the, well, Penny will tell you because she tries to shut the door. She tries to pull me back inside again. You can spend hours long debating with Jehovah's Witnesses, but they don't believe, and you get nowhere. Give them the opportunity, yes. I always pray, and I'm sure you do, that if one of them there is the unexperienced one, that the words might have some effect. We don't have to argue. We don't have to debate. We're called to proclaim. Isn't that true? We're called to proclaim. That word preach the gospel, that word preach should really be translated, it's a special word, herald the gospel. When a herald came to your town or to your village, he stood in the town square or something like that, or sat on a horseback, and he announced from the horseback or from where we were standing the news that he'd come to bring. He didn't come to debate it or argue or try to prove it. He just came to declare it. Here is the news. Hear ye, hear ye. And we're called to herald the gospel. Here is what God has done. Here is the good news. No argument, no debate. Here it is. Take it or leave it. Believe it or reject it. If you believe it, you'll be saved. And you have eternal life. Your sins forgiven. He left for Bethsaida on the other side. Top of the Sea of Galilee. The disciples are in the boat. And they'd forgotten to take bread with them. They'd forgotten to take food. They'd forgotten to take bread. There was just one loaf. Not more than one loaf, it says, was in the boat. Yet in this was a lesson. Jesus said to them, as they're setting off, said enough of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and of Herod. He says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod. Well, leaven is yeast. Leaven is that which, when you put it into some dough, it fills the whole thing. And when it cooks, it raises it all up and puffs it all out. But it will go, and when you knead that loaf and prove the dough, when you've put that yeast in it, it spreads through the whole lump. The Bible says, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And if you look at leaven as an example, and a type of that which is unclean, and of the enemy, and sinful, a little bit of that leaven, a little bit of that wrong teaching in your heart and in your life, it will spread and fill your whole life. Don't let the enemy get even a little finger hole in your life. And Jesus said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And we know from elsewhere in the Gospels that Jesus said, the leaven of the Pharisees is the doctrine of the Pharisees, what they're teaching. Don't go along with it. What they taught was what they added to the Word of God. It's still around. What they added to the Word of God, it's still around. Modern Jews, they say they follow the Torah, but they don't. They follow the Talmud. And the Talmud is a massive explanation of the Torah. And it adds to the Torah so many thousands of examples which become the rules and the regulations of Judaism. You won't find the rules of Judaism. You'll find some of the rules of Judaism in the Torah, in the first 5 books of the Bible. But the majority of them aren't. They're in the Talmud. And there are added rules to make sure you don't break the biblical rules. That's the idea of the Pharisees. He says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, the doctrine of the Pharisees, and of Herod, the worldly king. Beware of it. The little leaven affects the whole lump. The little leaven affects the whole of your life. Don't give it any room. Now, the disciples hadn't been listening properly. They heard the word leaven, and they associated it with what leaven does. It spreads through the lump, and you put it in the, when you're making bread, and it puffs it all up. Then they caught the word leaven, and they said to one to another, it's because we've brought no bread. He's having a go at us because we haven't brought any bread. When Jesus knew it in verse 17, he says to them, why reason you because you have no bread? Don't you perceive? Don't you understand? Is your heart still hardened? Having eyes, don't you see? Having ears, don't you hear? Don't you remember? The 5,000, the 4,000, there wasn't any food, just a few loaves, 5 loaves in the first case, 7 loaves in the second. Look what happened. We broke the bread, and as we were breaking it, it multiplied. We've got 1 loaf on board. 1 loaf is enough. If we need food, 1 loaf is enough. With the Lord there, it's always enough. Jesus is the bread of life. Hallelujah. In Mark 14, verse 22. Mark 14 and verse 22. This is the Last Supper. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it and gave to them and said, take, eat. This is my body. Oh, hallelujah. When Jesus is there, when Jesus is in the boat, when Jesus is in your life, you've got all you need. Every provision is there. How is it you don't understand, he said. You've seen what we did with the 5,000. You've seen what we did with the 4,000. Everybody was fed. Everybody was blessed. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. When they come to the other side, when he comes to Bethsaida, they bring a blind man to him. And they besought Jesus to touch him. And this, I think, is the only example in the Bible of a two-stage miracle. Where the first part of the miracle, he wasn't fully healed. Here it is. Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. I think Jesus wants to move people away from unbelief. Don't listen to unbelief. Don't listen to the doubters. Be strong in faith. Be strong in the Lord. And he took him outside of the town, and when he had spit on his eyes, you don't see healing evangelists doing that today, do you? When he had spit on his eyes, put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. He said, as he looked up, I see men as trees walking. He's got a blurred vision of something going on. And after that, Jesus put his hand upon him again, upon his eyes, and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. You see, Jesus wanted the disciples to learn from this. They were like that man. They knew an experience of the Lord. They followed him, they believed in him, they trusted in him, but they couldn't see things clearly. They keep coming up with these questions. How are we going to do this? And they don't seem to be picking up. And the Lord, here's an example. They're not seeing things clearly. Same as with us. You know, when we're born again in the Spirit, we don't always see things clearly when we become Christians. There comes a day, I believe, when if we are filled with the Holy Spirit and baptized with the Holy Spirit, then we begin to see things clearly, because Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we get revelation. Things that we didn't see clearly before, we begin to see clearly now. Oh, let's be those that are not only rejoicing in a wonderful salvation from sin, with eternal life from the Lord, but we're filled with his Holy Spirit, moment by moment, day by day, walking with him, so that we can see things clearly. And Jesus said to the man, don't go into the town. He'd taken him out of the town. Why? Because there was unbelief there. He says, don't go into the town. Don't tell anyone in the town. Why? Because their unbelief will have a bad effect on you. Their unbelief. Don't expose yourself to unbelief. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in faith. You see, like the disciples, they had a blurred vision of what Jesus could do. They had an incomplete understanding. And Jesus had to take them and show them that there was a complete work there for them. If there was one loaf in the boat, that's enough for the Lord. If there's only a few people in Pitsy, in the church at Gunhill, that's enough for the Lord. He can use us. Do you believe that? I have to keep encouraging myself in this. But the Lord can use us. Hallelujah. It's no obstacle to the Lord. Let's be strong in faith. Let's be filled with the Spirit. Let's see things more clearly. And like this man here, we will be able to say, I can see all things clearly. Hallelujah. Avoid that unbelief. And he sent him away, didn't he? Don't go back in the town.